Title: Stretching Pads from One Shots, with Stock Devices Only Intermediate. Alright, let's build the kind of long, cinematic drum and bass pad that sounds like it came from a fancy granular synth, except we're going to start with a tiny one shot, and we're only using Ableton Live stock devices. The big idea in DNB is this. Pads are often simple at the source but huge in the mix. They glue together intros, breakdowns, halftime moments, and those 32-bar transitions where you want atmosphere without stealing energy from the drums and bass. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a playable pad instrument made from a one-shot, plus a clean, mix-safe effects chain, EQ filter movement, width, space, and mono management. And I'll show you a couple producer moves that make it evolve so it doesn't just sit there going ah. Let's go. First, choose the right one-shot, because this matters more than people think. Great sources are short vocal chops, one-syllable stuff, little Foley clicks like a metal tick or a door sound, a piano hit, a chord stab, or even a resampled Reese mid hit, as long as it's not full of sub. In drum and bass, anything with heavy low end can turn into instant mud once you stretch it and drown it in reverb, so either avoid sub B sources or plan to high pass aggressively later. Quick coach note: pads usually come from the body of a sound, not the vent. If your one shot has a click or transient in the first 50 to 200 milliseconds, that click can poke through the entire stretched pad and ruin the vibe. So don't be afraid to crop off the start or fade it before you even stretch. You're not making a drum hit, you're harvesting texture. Step 1 is prepping and warping the audio like a producer, not a tourist. Drag your one shot onto an audio track. Turn warp on. Now choose your warp mode based on what the sound is. If it's noisy, fully, breathy, consonant heavy, or kind of messy, go with texture mode. If it's harmonic, like a chord hit, piano, or anything where pitch clarity matters, try Complex Pro. And honestly, do try both. Sometimes texture on a chord is exactly the weirdness you want for DNB intros. If you're in texture mode, set a starting grain size around 70 to 140 milliseconds. Bigger grain size is smoother. Smaller grain size gets more grainy and sparkly, sometimes too twittery. Flux around 10 to 30% gives it movement. If you push flux too far, it can get swirly and seasick, so keep it tasteful. If you're in Complex Pro, turn Formants on and try the envelope somewhere around 80 to 140. That's your starting zone, not a rule. Now stretch it. Grab the end of the clip and pull it out to something like 4 to 16 bars. For a classic DNB intro pad, 8 bars is a great target. Your goal is a sustained smear that still has character. If it becomes pure mush with no identity, either your warp settings are too extreme or the source needs a different section. Here's an extra trick that's surprisingly effective. Stretch in two stages for smoother results. Instead of pulling a 200 millisecond sound straight to 16 bars, stretch it to 2 bars first, resample it, and then stretch that resample out to 8 or 16 bars. It often reduces those warping artifacts while keeping the vibe. Cool. Step 2. Print it. This is where you commit and gain control. You can do freeze and flatten on the audio track, which is fast, or you can resample. Create a new audio track, set its input to resampling, and record 8 bars of your stretched result. Printing is a big deal in DNB workflows, because it turns a fragile warp experiment into solid audio you can shape. Also, it saves CPU later when you start stacking movement and space. Now step 3, turn it into a playable instrument using Simpler or Sampler. We'll use Simpler because it's quick and absolutely good enough for pro results. Drag your printed pad audio into a MIDI track so it loads into Simpler. Set Simpler's mode to Classic, not one shot. Then turn on loop. Use forward looping. Now, this part is where your pad either sounds expensive or amateur. Loop points. Move the loop braces so you're looping a stable portion, not the transient at the start. Remember, we already said the event is often the enemy ear. Find a section that's steady, then loop that. Add fade in Simpler, something like 20 to 80 milliseconds, to avoid clicks at the loop point. And here's a really practical pro check. Set utility to width 0, so you're listening in mono while setting loop points. A loop can sound seamless in stereo but have an obvious pulse or wobble in mono. If it holds steady in mono, it'll usually behave everywhere. Now shape the amplitude envelope in Simpler. Pads need a slower attack. Try 50 to 300 milliseconds for attack. Decay around 2 seconds is fine. Sustain you can lower a bit if you want it to feel softer, like -6 to -12 dB. And release. 2 to 8 seconds depending on how cinematic you want it. If you're writing intros and breakdowns, longer releases can feel amazing, but keep in mind long releases also stack up in the mix. At this point, play a minor chord and hold it, something like F minor, F ab C. You should already be in pan territory. Before we hit the effects chain, one teacher style note, treat pad building like gain staging, not effect stacking. Keep your levels conservative before reverb and echo. If your pad is slamming into time-based effects close to 0 dB, you get smeary tails and a cloudy mix. Aim for something like peaks around minus 6 dBFS going into your space effects. You'll thank yourself later. Now step 4, the stock device chain that's DNB mix safe. The order matters. First, EQ8. This is where we earn our mix clarity. High pass the pad at roughly 150 to 300 Hz. In a lot of rolling DNB, 200 Hz is a strong starting point. If the pad is still fighting the body of the snare or the low mids, try a small dip around 300 to 600 Hz. And if it's fizzy or too bright, a gentle shelf down above 10 kHz can keep it classy. The rule is simple. Pads are usually not allowed to fight kick and sub. Your bass is the star down there. Next, auto filter for tone and movement. Choose an LP24 low pass. Set cutoff anywhere from 300 Hz up to 4 kHz depending how dark you want it. Add a touch of resonance, like 5 to 15%, so the filter has a little personality. Now add the LFO inside auto filter. Sync it to the track. Try a rate of 1/4 or 1/8, but keep the amount subtle. We want breathing, not a wobble lead. Sine or triangle wave is the smooth zone. Next, chorus ensemble. This is width and lushness. Put it in chorus mode. Amount around 20 to 40%. Rate around 0.2 to 0.6 Hz for slow movement. Width around 80 to 120%. And keep an ear on mono compatibility. If you bow too wide, pads can feel hollow or vanish in mono. Then we hit reverb. Hybrid reverb if you have it, otherwise regular reverb. For hybrid reverb, you can choose convolution for realistic spaces or algorithmic for huge washes. Starting points, decay time 4 to 10 seconds, pre-delay 15 to 35 milliseconds so the reverb doesn't swallow the dry signal. Low cut 200 to 400 Hz and high cut 6 to 10 kHz. If it's on an insert, wet around 15 to 35%, but here's an alternative workflow that's more mix engineer. Put reverb on a return track and send to it. That way you can keep the pad present without drowning it, and you can EQ and compress the reverb return separately. After reverb, add echo for a subtle rhythmic haze. Try 1/8 dotted or 1/4 for time. Feedback 15 to 35%. Inside echo, high pass around 300 Hz and low pass around 6 to 8 kHz so the repeats don't clutter the mix. Add just a touch of modulation for motion. Finally, utility. This is your safety device. Set bass mono to something like 150 to 250 Hz. That keeps the low part of the pad centered and stable. If your mix collapses weirdly, reduce overall width a bit. Maybe down to 70 to 100%. Alright, now it sounds like a pad, but we're not done. Because the big difference between preset pad and intentional DNB atmosphere is evolution. Step 5. Make it evolve so it's not static. Method is clip automation in arrangement view, and this is the most arrangement friendly. Over 8 or 16 bars, slowly automate the auto filter cutoff. Maybe it opens slightly as you approach the drop, or it closes down as you enter a breakdown. Automate reverb wetness to bloom into transitions. And here's a classic move. Automate echo feedback up in the last bar before a section change, then cut it right at the drop so the drop feels huge and clean. Method B is using an LFO device if you're on Live Suite with Max for Live. Map slow LFOs to things like filter cutoff, chorus amount, maybe reverb decay. Set the rate super slow, like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz, and use offset so it doesn't sweep the full range constantly. Think subtle drift. Method C is the classic DNB workflow. Resample again. Once it's moving nicely, record 16 bars of it, then chop the best 4 to 8 bars and use that as your final pad bed. This is how you get that printed jungle Atmos character, where it feels like audio, not a synth you're still fiddling with. Now, a couple advanced but super usable variations. One is a parallel air layer. Duplicate your pad track. On the duplicate, high pass it hard, like 600 Hz up to 1.5 kHz. Then go heavier on chorus and reverb. Keep that layer mostly shimmer and width. On the original, keep it darker and drier. Blend them so you get width and sparkle without raising low-mid fog. Another is mid-side control using only utility and an audio effect rack. Make two chains, one called mid, one called side. On the mid chain, set utility width to zero so it's pure center. On the sidechain, EQ outlows, like high pass 300 to 600 HC, and you can even push width higher if needed. Now your center stays stable and your sides do the cinematic work. And here's a fun one for pre-drock tension. The reverse bloom pad. Take your printed pad audio, reverse it, load it into simpler, use a slow attack and a shorter release, and play chords right before a transition so it swells into the downbeat. It's instant drama. Let's also cover a few common mistakes so you don't waste time. Mistake 1. Leaving low end in the pad. Anything below roughly 150 to 250 HC in a pad will mess with your sub clarity. High pass until the kick and sub feel untouched. Mistake 2. Overwidening. If your pad disappears in mono, it's too facey. Check in mono, reduce chorus width, or simplify the stereo effects. Mistake 3. Too much reverb on an insert. That's how you turn your intro into soup. Use a return, or keep wet lower. Mistake 4. Warp artifacts in the wrong place. Stretching transients can create chirps. Trim out the transient, fade it, and loop a stable region. Mistake 5. No movement. If it doesn't evolve at all, it reads like a cheap preset. Even subtle filter drift makes it feel intentional. Now, quick darker, heavier DNB pro tips. Pitch the source down by 3 to 12 semitones before stretching for instant menace. You can do this in clip transpose or in simpler. Add saturator before reverb, not after. Analog clip mode, drive 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. That makes the reverb tail denser and more cinematic. And if you want gritty haze, vinyl distortion with tracing model around 0.5 to 2 can add texture without screaming lo-fi plugin, as long as you keep it subtle. If your one shot is tonal, do the tuner trick. Put tuner at the start, find the rough note, then transpose in simpler so your chord voicings land musically. This is one of those tiny steps that makes your pad feel like it belongs to the track's key instead of just being noise in the background. And one more practical note. Once your pad is working, print it and disable the heavy chain. Pads are perfect candidates for resampling because they don't usually need constant real-time tweakability during mixdown. Save CPU, save focus. Let's lock it in with a mini practice exercise. Set your project to 174 BPM. This audio version is shortened for playback.